here for Q92 Radio, and we got a special event coming up at the Grand Theater in Madison this Wednesday, May 28th at 6:30. We're going to have a film screening of a documentary called Greener Pastures, and the producer of Greener Pastures, the documentary, is on the phone with us right now, Ian Kibbe. And Ian, thanks for joining us.
Oh, great. Thanks for having me, Paul. Really appreciate it.
Greener Pastures is, tell us a little bit about that documentary.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. And it's a documentary that follows four farm families, mostly small independent farmers, one commodity farmer. And we followed them for about 3-4 years, from 2018 to 2023, 2024. Sometimes I forget when we stopped filming. It's such a process. And we were really trying to look at, the idea for the film started based actually on a public radio story about mental health in farm communities. And there had been a report, which has since been somewhat amended, but that farming had one of the highest rates of suicide of any occupation. And that was just sort of shocking to hear. It's not something we would have thought, you know. We, myself and the director, we both grew up around farms, but in sort of like more suburban. Sam grew up in Indianapolis. I grew up in like around Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And so kind of more suburban city areas, but surrounded immediately by farms. So it wasn't unfamiliar territory. But still, to hear that number, to hear that farms had such a high rate of suicide was just sort of shocking. So it started off as an investigation into what caused that, what was causing that kind of mental health crisis. And very quickly came to learn that we knew nothing about farming in the process.
Right.
Which is, you know, that's that happens to me a lot. But we started to kind of learn about what is often called, and I'm sure a lot of listeners might know, like farm stressors, right? So just these idea that there are these kind of like very complicated sets of challenges that farmers have to face every year to make it. And, you know, so we're talking policy, we're talking climate, at that time there was a pandemic, and there are just so many forces that are outside of a person's control that they have to kind of navigate in order to make a living and feed the nation and feed their communities. And so we found these four families and started following them, and, you know, 4 years later we had a film called Greener Pastures.
Okay, so it's basically about mental health in a way. It actually, May is Mental Health Month, it's about the stress and the mental health that farming takes a toll on some of these families then, huh?
Yeah, it's, you know, one of the farmers in the film is he's a farmer, and then he also ends up going on to starts a nonprofit specifically targeted to talking to men in farm communities about mental health challenges. I mean, mental health is not the only thing the film is about, but that is a very big part of, that's sort of like the consequence or the of kind of having to deal with all these different farm stressors. And then I think you add on, you know, being rural and kind of geographically distant from a lot of resources. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a multi-generational farm family, mm-hmm. right? And the pressure that comes with trying to make it, again, when you're trying to navigate all these things that aren't necessarily in your control.
Right.
So you followed
a farmer from Minnesota. What can you tell us about that farm family or that person?
Julie was a dairy farmer. She's a dairy farmer, and she was a frequent dairy show competitor. I can't remember exactly when Sam first met Juliet. But you know, a lot of the farmers, we kind of found one or two farmers, and then a lot of farmers work through Facebook, very connected to one another. And so once we found one person, they would say, "Oh, you should talk to this person, and you should talk to this person." And so Juliet was one of the early people we talked to, and I think we really connected with Sam. Really felt like she was very open with Sam. I think a lot of what makes films like this successful is having to build relationships, trusting relationships with the people you're filming. Mm-hmm. But Juliet is a dairy farmer. She
not too many dairy farmers are left in Minnesota.
No, not on a small scale. No. And you hear her, you know, in one of the early scenes, she's talking to her husband, and they're reading the paper about how many dairy farmers Minnesota has lost. And, you know, she's just another dairy farmer trying to make it, trying to make ends meet, having to sell cattle to pay bills, hadn't been able to compete in the dairy competitions that she kind of loved. But you see in her this great love of her animals, right? I think that's a sort of common misconception. Some folks who don't know farming is that they don't care for their animals,
right.
But you see how much she cares for them. And she also, like I think a lot of farmers, struggles with substance abuse, right? So that's kind of the way she's coping with alcohol, and so that's a big part of her story, is sort of watching her wrestle with addiction. And it's hard, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but she does end up in a better place, I think, you know, mentally and financially. And but yeah, she was our Minnesota dairy farmer, Juliet. Okay. She's great.
So you followed these four.
Very funny.
So you followed these four families around for three, 4 years. You said, what did they have in common, Ian? I mean, did they have something in common as individual farmers?
Yeah, it's a great question. One of the things when we were talking to farmers and sort of trying to figure out who was going to be in this film, one thing that was important was that they all sort of had some kind of contact or connection to mental health. You know, either being involved at either working in that space or knowing a loved one or themselves being impacted by some side of the mental health challenge, right? And it's a big part of the film, but I think most of the time you're seeing how just farmers work and live, and then the mental health part again is sort of just the consequence that comes from this. But that was sort of our guiding star, was that, you know, where has this group? So Jeff works in a mental health nonprofit. You know, he started his own after struggling himself. several of the other farmers, you know, have had loved ones die by suicide,
mm-hmm.
Or again trying to navigate their own journeys to sort of wellness and mental wellness. So that was sort of what the
okay
answer your question.
Were some of these farm families generational farm families?
They're all generational farm families. Along with Jeff is the one who's been working along, but he's not necessarily working his family land. But Jay, you know, here you hear him talk about it. They were deeded their land by Thomas Jefferson.
Oh wow.
And Chris Peterson, who's, you know, he's a farmer in Iowa and also sort of like a small farm, family farm activist, very politically engaged. He's been working his farm for a long time, and that's actually kind of one of the arcs of their story, is how do you pass on that legacy, and what does that look like?
Okay.
What does the legacy look like? So, yeah.
Good. Well, I tell you what, Ian, I think this documentary is going to hit home because we're smack dab in the middle of farm country here in Madison, Minnesota. Got corn and soybeans growing all around us, and a lot of farm families. And I think it'll, you know, be really good for farm families to watch this documentary. It's an award-winning documentary. When was it released, and what kind of awards have you won with it?
Yeah. Well, that's always a fun question. Thanks for teasing me. Let's just brag a little bit.
Yeah.
Paul, appreciate
go ahead.
That.
You can brag.
So it did pretty well in the festivals. We really focused on playing Midwest festivals. So we won a number of different kind of, let me see if I can find them all, different awards. Like in Minneapolis, St. Paul, we won the Best of Fest Award. Cedar Rapids, Best Doc Fest, Wisconsin, we got a grand jury mention. We won a grand jury best documentary at Mountain Film, which is actually in Colorado, but a really great documentary festival, Mountain Film. And then we recently just won a Television Academy honor which will actually be the Wednesday of the screening. Sam and I will actually be in LA accepting that award, and that is given to I think it's six films this year that had a social, it made a social impact. Six films or programs on television that are being recognized by the Television Academy for their impact, which is really, as a documentary filmmaker, that's what you want your films, at least a social issue documentary filmmaker, you want your films to be recognized for exactly that, having some kind of impact. And that's, I think, related, you know, we did a lot, we've done a lot of screening in places like libraries, but also with nonprofit organizations, mental health, rural organizations, farmers unions, and that's just like what y'all are about to do, where we screen the film, and then it's just an opportunity to start to talk about the issues in the film, kind of reduce the stigma of mental health. Sometimes there are job fairs where people are connecting to either work or services in their community around mental health and farm support. So, it's been a real great journey.
Ian, on a side note, how did you get interested in filmmaking? Tell us a little bit about your story.
You know, I think like most filmmakers, you know, it was some time, you know, went to the theater as a kid and saw a movie. For me, it was multiple movies. Actually, funnily enough, this is definitely not a documentary, I saw Terminator 2 in the theaters. I was way too young to see Terminator 2.
Okay.
It's such a different movie, but I couldn't believe what I was seeing, right? And then since then, there's sort of been a growing love of film. When I moved to Chicago, I found Kartemplin Films, which they did Hoop Dream, which was another film I remember watching as a kid with my family on PBS, on public television. Sort of a famous doc about two basketball players in high school in Chicago trying to make it. So I found the company that made that film when I moved here and got an internship. And that they're a company that does documentary, social issue documentary, cares a lot about impact and a lot about sort of the ethical behavior required to work in these spaces and work in the documentary field and deal with participants and people in sensitive areas. So was real fortunate to get to work with them. And, you know, it just sort of fostered my childhood love of kind of the magic of what a story can do in an hour and a half, you know, what it can leave you with.
All right. Real good, Ian. I just want to encourage our listeners come into Madison to the Grand Theater. It's absolutely free to watch Greener Pastures. And following the screening, everyone's invited to the Madison Mercantile around 8 o'clock for a discussion of the film. That sounds like fun at the Madison Merc. And this film screening, Greener Pastures, is sponsored by the Madison Public Library. So, looking forward to watching the documentary, Ian. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you so much, Paul. I hope your listeners get a chance to watch it and it sparks something in them, it sparks a conversation, and maybe helps a few people. There'll be some laughs, there'll be some tears, and maybe a little magic there in the cinema.
All right. I'm going to plug your website, too, greenpasturesfilms.com.
Greenpasturesfilm.com, that is right.
All right. All right, thanks, Ian. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I'll take care.
Yeah, Ian Kibbe, producer of Greener Pastures. Once again, this Wednesday, 6:30 the time at the Grand Theater, and it's free.